on great radio stations all across America. It's The National Defense with Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry.
The National Defense is made possible by Ford. Go further. By The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. And by Subway. We sell delicious sandwiches that you will like, and you should get one. Subway. So much sandwich.
This is The National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And Jerry, as always, our dedication.
Hey, this show's for you, the men and women serving in our military. It's for the millions of veterans out there, and it's for all their families. We're here for you. We love you. God bless you.
Hey, would this show exist without the Home Depot Foundation?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
We wouldn't have anything.
We wouldn't have anything to talk. Every guest that we have that's doing great things for veterans, Home Depot Foundation is involved.
Seems like it.
Yeah. And we got another one of those, Jerry. This is good. Joey Jones is with us with Camp Southern Ground. And I want to find out all of this. This is really a fascinating idea.
Well, just the name alone, since we're since we're Southern boys.
Yeah, that's
as far
right.
That endeared it to me immediately.
We're talking to a Georgia boy. Joey, how are you doing?
Wonderful. How are you guys this morning?
Great, man. You are a retired Marine Corps Staff Sergeant, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And for the Southern Ground, you're the resident veteran advisor. So tell us all about this. Now, I know that the country music Zach Brown Band, they're involved in this in somewhat. Tell us what you got going here.
Sure. I'm part of the leadership team here at Southern Ground, and I do the veteran programming for Camp Southern Ground. And Zach Brown, the namesake of Zach Brown Band, is the only reason we have Camp Southern Ground. He is
our
founder, originator, and visionary.
And how did he get involved? Does he have a big heart for veterans?
Well, Camp Southern Ground is, and not to go too far into the elevator speech, but through the summer we serve children. And then during our off season, which is the majority of the year because kids can only go for a week during the summer, we have a lot of opportunities and ways we're going to serve the veteran community. And so for Zach was a camp counselor himself, Camp Glisten here in Georgia, a few others. And through his time, both as a camper and a camp counselor, he realized what an amazing impact it left on him, on his life, the lives of the kids that came through there. And he'll tell you to this day that music is his platform, but Camp Southern Ground, that's his passion.
Huh. Wow. How'd you get involved in
that?
Well, I've got a kind of one of those stories that kind of like Forrest Gump, you know, you just keep landing in the right place at the right time. Doesn't really matter who you are. So I was injured back in 2010. I lost my legs in Afghanistan. I was a bomb tech. That's usually when I tell the story in person, that's when I go, obviously, I wasn't that good at it, and I point to my leg. But during my recovery, just timing of when I got injured compared to how many guys were coming in after me, and my own kind of outgoing personality and real hunger for being a part of something bigger than myself, I knew I wouldn't be taking bombs apart anymore. So I kind of sought after opportunities. I ended up acting and working in NASCAR and going to school at Georgetown. I landed a fellowship at the House Veterans Affairs Committee, learned more about the politics and policy and things like that. Realized if I really wanted to have an effect on this country, I had to get as far away from D.C. as possible.
There you go. And,
hey, boy, that's the truth.
So I ended up running a nonprofit in Texas called Boot Campaign. Their niche was to get celebrities to don a pair of combat boots to show support for the military.
Oh, we've talked to them. They've been on the show.
Yeah.
And so Zach became one of those celebrities during my tenure there as a chief operating officer. Being a Georgia boy myself, and having worked in entertainment, we had a lot of friends in common, a lot of hobbies in common. Our friendship grew, and when I got ready to move back to Georgia in 2016, Zach asked if I'd be part of the team, and I've been here ever since.
That's a rather inspirational story, except for the fact you keep bringing up the fact that you're a Georgia boy all the time. We already got that.
When you're talking to two Tennessee guys, that didn't sound good, does it?
Yeah. So the website, now I went on the website and I looked at what you're doing now and what you hope to accomplish in the future. And, man, I'm telling you, it looks like that's going to be quite the place.
Good stuff. So the camp's in operation now, right?
It is. So we have about four structures built and probably 10 more to go. But
what part of Georgia, Joey?
We are in, the camp is technically in Fayetteville, Georgia. The best way to explain to people We're just south of Peachtree City. We're about 30 miles south of Atlanta.
Okay, okay. So pretty centrally located. I mean, convenient to a lot of big areas. Yeah.
Yeah, for your audience, especially, we're only about 45 minutes an hour from Fort Benning.
Oh, okay, gotcha. So then the camp, when you're in operation for veterans, what do the veterans do there at the camp?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been very lucky. If you listen to the lyrics of Chicken Fried, which is the song that put Zac Brown Band on the map, there's an entire verse dedicated to men and women serving. And if you go to a concert now, you'll see a tribute to military. Well, actually, you have a military person in uniform on stage every concert. Hmm. So patriotism, military appreciation specifically, are two things that are very important to Zac. So the way we serve military at Camp Southern Ground is multifaceted. We bring in kids of all abilities, ages 7 to 17, with a focus on kids in the autism spectrum, as well as gold, silver, and white star children on the military side. And so those are the two subsets of kids that are always going to be scholarshiped in and that we'll bring in specific programming for from time to time. But the camp's open to all kids, and the groups of kids going through have all backgrounds. And that's a big part of camp, just like when you land at Parris Island or Fort Benning, you're there with people from all over the place with all sorts of experiences. And so that's a part of camp, and patriotism and even military training is woven into our camp. And then in the off season, 8 months a year, when it's not the kids there, we're going to serve military service members and their families through our military partners. So we have two now, Boot Campaign and Criscoll Frog Foundation, and we'll continue to build, add about another five to that. And we'll bring in military organizations, nonprofits mainly, that have programs that are proven, that are truly having a lasting effect on veterans' lives, helping them in their transition from war or back home. And they'll do their programs kind of through Camp Southern Ground and with our flavor added to it. And that's our goal in serving veterans here at Camp Southern Ground the majority of the time.
So how do you decide who gets to attend the camp, children and adults? How does that work?
Well, absolutely. So there's a few different ways. For the children, we'll have kind of a graduated scale of scholarships all the way until children that come from a really good place and can just pay their way. Back up to those children who land in one of our focus pools or who come from a socioeconomic background that they just couldn't afford it anyway, any other way, and then we'll scholarship those kids. So we'll have partners that want to send children that are associated with their organization, and then most importantly and most obviously, we'll have an application process on the Camp Southern Ground website starting in May 2018 for our summer camp.
Hmm. So, and we're talking to Joey Jones. He's the veteran advisor to Camp Southern Ground. I imagine there's like a weekly Zac Brown Band concert.
There is a weekly Zac Brown Band concert somewhere in the country.
Oh, yeah.
There's a half a dozen about every week. They're one of the hardest working bands in the country.
Yeah, exactly. You know. But now, so Zac Brown is obviously the focal point, but are there other country music entertainers that visit the camp that
absolutely
do some stuff?
So, more than once a year, we'll have the band on camp for some sort of event, or sometimes Zac will surprise the kids. He doesn't live far away. And so this is something that Zac's very hands-on with. And the whole band, actually, is very hands-on with. They were just out a couple days ago for Home Depot Foundation for a day and did a small concert. So there's a lot going on with Zac and the camp. But, for example, during our mini camps, which for those who don't understand, right now we don't have a structure, our lodge, built. So we're using, actually, Army tents. That have swamp coolers and heaters in them. So we can't bring them in the summer until we finish our lodge in March this coming year. So to stay in these tents for weekend camps, we have to do it in the fall. And so 2 weekends ago, we did our very first camp, and Caroline Jones, who's actually on tour with Zac Brown Band right now, came out and sang to the kids and let the kids get up and sing with her. And actually, my son was there and sung with her. And it's so organic and it's so fun.
Wow.
And she's one of the next big names in country music, I can guarantee you that. And so that was a lot of fun. And we've had other artists stop by, and different members of the band will come in individually. They're very hands-on.
That's cool. And now you mentioned Home Depot Foundation, and, like we talked about at the top of the show, they are involved in so many great organizations and things going on. How did you guys get hooked up with them?
Well, you know, proximity goes a really long way.
Right.
So we're just south of Atlanta.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about Georgia, especially the Atlanta area, we have some pretty pretty amazing national brands here. And there's a very big focus on being aligned and associated with one another, you know, to really understand who's in your backyard and if you can work together. And so proximity has a large portion to do with it. And then a few other kind of random connections along the way through our network and theirs. It just made a lot of sense. And actually, I'm a recipient of Home Depot Foundation when I was working and living in Texas. So once they were brought up, I was very adamant to make sure we made that connection.
Yeah, really. Yeah, and it's just it's amazing to me how large their network is in terms of everything that they do and the money they put out, and not just money, but I mean, you know, with the Team Depot and everything
Team
that they
Depot,
do.
Yeah, I mean, every week.
It really
virtually
is.
Virtually every week.
Yeah.
We have someone on that's being supported by the foundation.
And sometimes we know it, and sometimes we don't.
Exactly.
You know? Hey, Joey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to find out more about Camp Southern Ground when we come back next on the National Defense.
So we live out in our old van, travel all across this land. Me.
Welcome back to the National Defense. Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And Camp Southern Ground is this incredible camp in Georgia. Joey Jones is our guest here in the National Defense.
So how about volunteers?
Yeah. Absolutely. We're building the volunteer side, what we will or won't need. But there will always be a need for people, especially those with skill sets, to come and volunteer at Camp Southern Ground.
Man, it sounds cool now, but it sounds like the plans are incredible.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You know,
getting these kids together for a weekend serves a huge purpose, regardless of what structures we already have built.
Right.
The activities we have now are archery. We have a mining, kind of like you'd see if you ever vacationed in Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, because
sure.
Zach's from Dahlonega, Georgia, a gold mining town. We have the high ropes course. They spend time in the organic farm. We do a nature walk. We have the zip line. And a bunch of other fun activities.
Sounds
but
like
everything
that.
Is built
cool.
around teaching a lesson.
Well, you know, and it's so important for kids to, you know, because kids today are somewhat, they're segregated from society.
Right.
They're landlocked.
Isolated.
Inside with their video games.
Yep.
So they don't know what it's like to associate people like them.
Right.
Let alone people unlike them.
Yep.
And you mentioned it earlier that, you know, when you're in the military, you're exposed to people from all walks of life, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, right.
And it's really good if it occurs when you're a kid.
And in the military, you got no choice.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll
tell you,
that's
you
cool.
know, we just went through our first mini camp, and there was a child there that, you know, there's always one child that just sticks out to you the most. And I will say that, you know, the challenges he has in the autism spectrum, he was as much a blessing and a learning opportunity for all of us as we were providing to him.
Hmm.
And you know, there were a lot of struggles, or I would say a lot of obstacles we had along the way, but just getting the opportunity to work with him and to get him to a place where, you know, when he left, and he was only there for about 72 hours, or a little bit less actually, when he left, we felt really good about it, but his mom wrote us a note and explained how, you know, for the first time in his life, he spent a weekend somewhere where he just felt normal.
Wow.
And that goes a long way. You can really reach kids of all backgrounds and kind of preconceptions of how people should be. And it's just an amazing experience. We could do it with just a piece of land and a tent, I believe, with
right.
the team we have. And we just happen to be lucky enough to have someone like Zach making sure that we do the funding and do the fundraising to build some really amazing and state-of-the-art structures.
Hey, Joey, thank you so much. What's the best way for people to get information about Camp Southern Ground?
Hey, absolutely. CampSouthernGround.org. We should have everything up there. Please challenge us, write us, let us know if you have any questions. We're always trying to improve our social presence at Camp Southern Ground on Instagram and Twitter, and then at Camp Southern Ground on Facebook. And pretty much, if you can remember Camp Southern Ground, you can find us anywhere, and we'd love to hear from you.
I got to say, Joey Jones is the most well-spoken Marine I've ever talked to.
Well-spoken person from Georgia.
Well, that too, yes.
Put down the crayons.
Joey, thank you so much, man. Have a great day.
Absolutely. Take care, guys. Thank you so much.
We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
The National Defense is made possible by ADT Security. For over 140 years, your first line of defense. And by Hilton Hotels. With over 10,000 veterans and military spouses hired in the last 3 years, Hilton offers a world of opportunity. Visit jobs.hilton.com/military.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And this is great. We're going to catch back up with somebody we had on the program about a year ago, Jerry. The co-founder of Purple Heart Homes.
Yep.
Is John Galena. John, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Doing great, Randy. Ben, it's great to be back on the show.
Great to talk to you again. Purple Heart Homes is doing some great work, and it's not really been around that long. It was in 2008 you guys started this?
Yes, sir. We're coming up on our 10-year anniversary next year.
And so give us a little idea of what you've been doing in the last 10 years here.
Well, you know, we're quickly approaching our 300th project. We're continuing to focus on our Vietnam veterans and helping them to age safely in place by providing them adapted bathrooms and wheelchair ramps and really filling in some of those gaps. Most people don't really know or understand that only about 20 to 30% of the eligible veterans that have been to combat go to the VA for care and assistance. So many of the programs that they offer, those veterans that served 4 years ago, while they may be eligible in regulation, so to speak, they're not enrolled, and that enrollment process takes a long time, as many people know. And so we go in and we fill in those gaps when they have a need as they're 65, 68 years old, receiving an amputation, they find themselves in a wheelchair. We're there to really help them and modify their homes to make it safe and accessible, give them a little dignity and quality of life.
Yeah, and there's a lot of Vietnam era veterans.
Of which you are one.
I am.
Yeah.
Who don't qualify for programs.
Well, but why is it only 20%? I mean, that seems ridiculously low.
Well,
in terms of
some people might have worked, for Ford or Chrysler or wherever, and had benefit of insurance, and just never enrolled. Some people just stay away from the system,
and some people take a shot at it, and it's too complicated, and they give
and
up.
They say to heck with it.
Yeah,
some people might be enrolled. There's different categories of care in the VA,
right?
And they might be enrolled, but yet not qualify for service connected or some of these other things, and they don't get the benefit of their houses being adapted to whatever.
So, John, when you say you guys fill in the gap, that's a big gap.
It is, yeah.
I think it's not only a gap in our expectations of the VA. Hey, let me give them a shout out. Thank you for your service too, Jerry. But as a vet, they're a healthcare facility. They're a healthcare provider, largest one in the world. In fact, why do we want them to do our housing too?
Well, that's true.
I understand the budgetary reasons from a government resource allocation, veterans resources with veterans resources, but at the end of the day, it's the community that has a responsibility. We really try and engage them to allow them to have a part and a role in reintegration.
Amen. Amen. I love that you said that because you're right. Our veterans have served their country and their communities for the benefit of others.
Right.
It's the least others could do.
That's true. Absolutely.
Yeah. So right on.
Yep. That's and we get the chance, Jerry, to, on this show to hear about a lot of those organizations that are doing that. And John, you guys, when you started this Purple Heart Homes, was the idea to renovate houses? Was the idea to do all of it or everything or build ramps? Or what was your vision at the beginning?
We had such a great welcome from our community. And we really stood back and said, I say we, my co-founder and battle buddy, Dale Beatty, we were injured together in 2004 when our vehicle struck two anti-tank mines. And resulted in Dale as a double amputee and myself with traumatic brain injury and back injury. And so we kind of represent the visible and invisible. But our community really come in and helped us in a way that, you know, for Dale and his family, they embraced him and helped him to build a home to meet his physical needs. And, you know, for myself as somebody that had been in construction and a businessman, and, you know, they really welcomed me into the community again to, you know, help me to find that place. And, you know, many times you come home and people don't understand, you know, what post-traumatic stress is. And, you know, they oftentimes say, well, you know, you're a little different. And you say, well, you know, yeah, I kind of feel different. After a while, enough people tell you you're different and you kind of feel awkward.
Right.
You know, and so you need some people to say, you know, you're normal, you know, and that's, you know, really what our community did for us. They treated us normal, but yet welcomed us. Reintegration is not possible by the soldier, the Marine, or the sailor, the airman. It's the community that's responsible for that reintegration to help them say you're of value, you're worthy of, you know, some respect, and, you know, our, you know, willingness to not necessarily just listen to you, but involve you and communicate with you and keep that pathway of communication open in a manner to and receive some value back out of that multi-million-dollar investment of education that the military put into each one that, you know, has served.
Well, I don't think you are so normal, John. I mean, honestly, we talked to so many people on the show that it just blows my mind that you have those kind of wounds, and you know, 99% of the people go crawl in a hole or just lay down.
Regardless of the trauma,
right?
The fact that these guys serve their country in the military. First of all, that sets them apart from the majority of people living in this country. Yeah. And the fact that they want to continue to serve.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be real here.
Yeah.
How many people actually do anything to serve their communities?
Right.
They like to sit back and bitch about things.
Yeah,
But they don't do anything to help others
or
fix a problem. And you're doing it, John.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's the team. It's the team effort. You know, there's, at this point, we have basically created a franchise of Purple Heart homes. We have chapters popping up across the country. We've got 10 that are legally chartered, and we have another four or five that are in process of receiving their charter in the application process. So we've, you know, really want to see that communities take up that torch and, you know, say, hey, we'll help. We'll do something to not just welcome home the returning vets, but reintegration is possible 40 years after the fact.
Right. Well, so, okay, let's kind of get down to the nuts and bolts of it here, John. So for our audience, if they need some help in terms of their homes or renovations or everything you guys do, how do they get in touch, and what do they do to qualify?
Well, it's, you know, not that you have to have a Purple Heart, but you hit the nail on the head earlier. You have to be service-connected, disabled. And even in that, we recognize that there's so many that have not been enrolled into the VA. If you are a disabled veteran and you're over the age of 60 and, you know, you need a renovation due to your disability with the, you know, honorable discharge and your DD-214, we'll still provide you assistance. But key is the disability or the service-connected disability. And it's real simple application process. You can request an application on our website at purpleheartholmesusa.org, or you can call our office 704-838-4044. And we'll be happy to come look at your project and run you through our vetting committee. Real simple. And you know, those that want to support and get involved, whether it be through a chapter or hosting a fundraiser, sponsoring a project, all types of ways you can get involved in the same, you can visit our website. the short link to that website is phhusa.org.
Now, when you have a project, is it just your crew and list of volunteers, or do you go out and reach out to the community to get involved in the project?
You know, we're really doing less and less. I believe that when you start in a community, sometimes you have to go in and you got to do for people to see how it's done and that it can be done before they'll believe that somebody could do it.
Yeah.
But sometimes we have to go do a little bit. But more often than not, once we find a key group of movers and shakers or doers in a community, then at that point, you know, we're identifying contractors, we're identifying key volunteers, even all the way down to someone to bake cookies, whether it be a Girl Scout or, you know, a retired or stay-at-home mom. We're you know, happy to have those to help serve those who are working, be involved and engaged. It truly takes a village to make it happen.
And are you guys are all over the country, right, John?
I believe at this point we've done projects in 40 states.
Wow.
That's huge.
And that's from anything from ramps to whole renovation type deals?
We're even involved in some partnerships where we build new houses.
Wow.
Where basically a veteran can take on, through our home ownership program, they can take on a 50% mortgage. Where else can you buy a house for half the appraised value?
Exactly. Man,
wow.
That's amazing. That's
pretty cool deal. We'll customize for your needs and your family's needs. So we do some pretty neat partnerships with other charities. We love working with the communities. We're in the middle of a campaign currently called Operation Veteran Home Renovation, where in partnership with the National League of Cities and Home Depot Foundation.
We are
working with mayors across the country. We've got 9 mayors. And credit unions, where they're fundraising their communities and partnering with the cities to execute repair projects for veterans and building some ramps, doing outdoor maintenance.
Wow.
We're really happy to be a collaborative organization.
Well, what you guys have done in just a little under 10 years is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And happy 10th anniversary upcoming. And thank you for your service, John. Thank you for everything that you guys are doing.
Oh, thank you guys. I love the show and appreciate what you do to put out the good word.
Hey, man, thank you so
much. Buddy.
We'll talk to you again soon. Don't make it, you know, another 10 years, but we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah.
Look forward to it. I'll drag Dale back with me next time.
That's
all right,
good.
Cool.
All right.
Good.
Thank you, John. We'll be right back here on the National Defense. Welcome back to the National Defense, Randy Miller and Jerry Newberry. And, Jerry, you know, we've talked to a lot of people at Red Cross, Team Rubicon, a lot of these people that have been on the show that are involved in the hurricanes and any kind of rescue situations. The thing that, I don't think people realize, and maybe I didn't realize it, is that the first line of defense, right? There's some great organizations. First line of defense is our military.
Oh, yeah.
I mean... They are providing so much manpower, equipment, shelter.
They'll go in where the aid workers can't possibly even get to.
Right. But I do want people to understand that, hey, listen, it's not a bunch of people that are overseas.
Right.
You know,
These are your neighbors.
These are your neighbors,
yep.
Right? And they're in your military, and in your community, and they're. I mean,
and many times, let's take Florida or Texas for example.
Yeah.
The National Guard's call up. Their houses might be knocked down. Their families might be hurting.
That's a good
But yet they're putting on the uniform, going to take care of somebody else.
Yeah, and they're flying the choppers. They're doing the rescues. They're bringing in carriers.
Yeah.
Right for storage space and different. It's just amazing to me, and I think that kind of gets lost a little bit because there are some great organizations.
Sure.
Like,
yeah.
You know, the Red Cross and Team Rubicon and Heart International. I mean, just all these.
Lots of them. Yeah.
And it's fantastic, but none of that gets done unless the military
that's right.
gets there first.
That's right.
Yeah. And they always get there first.
Yeah. I mean, they do an incredible job, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, because, you know, I noticed something on the news the other day, and it was very, very minor point, you know, on the news about, the National Guard was on the scene.
Yeah, and I was struck by the same thing. Yeah. I thought, well, geez, the National Guard, you know, how about their houses?
Right, exactly.
How about their family?
Yep. And it could be...
They're first responders, same as the police
yep.
and the fire department. I mean, all those the EMT workers, yep. all those people
yeah,
put their own interest second.
Right. Well, and, you know, in a lot of cases, especially in a hurricane, you know, they're rescuing people that really are their next door neighbors.
Yeah.
you know, right. And they may not get to them first, but,
right.
you know, they'll get to them.
Right.
And it's just amazing to me because everybody, you know, when you think of the military, and it used to be, and we've talked about this before, you know, it used to be that you knew how many veterans or military people lived on your block. Well, now you don't. You don't have
right.
any idea.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
And so, you know, it takes something like that sometimes to let you know that, hey, they're not just, you know, the military has to be everywhere.
Yes.
I understand that. But, man, the most important place for them in emergency situations is right here
yep.
at home.
Yep. And, the men and women in the National Guard and the Reserves, they certainly don't get all the credit they deserve.
Well, and as we've talked about, too, you know, there's no part-time to any of it anymore.
No, not anymore. No, man.
I mean, you used to, you know, you put in your weekend and you go home. No, that's not the case anymore.
And I suspect now with the disaster in Mexico, I don't know this, but certainly the aid and relief organizations be down there. But I suspect we might volunteer some of our military to go.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least some of the equipment and knowledge.
And, you know, at least on this show, when we talk to some of these organizations that are, you know, providing this aid, a lot of times they're former military.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. you know? Yeah, all the time. Yeah. But, you know, all these
back... That's a nice problem to have.
All these back-to-back disasters.
Yeah, right.
You know, the logistics of moving people and material,
you know, come up for air.
Man.
Well, and just think, if you never are deployed... You know, just think of how much emergency stuff that you can use on yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly That's right.
We'll be right back here at the National Defense.